Welcome to all those that are with us. This is a momentous occasion that we're beginning the second book of Likutei Moran. The first book was published during Rabbi Nachman's lifetime. The second book was the shiurim that he gave towards the end of his life, which was only published first after Rabbi Nachman passed away. And it has many very high-level chapters of Likutei Moran, several shiurim that were given on Rosh Hashanah by Rabbi Nachman, the last three Rosh Hashanahs of Rabbi Nachman's life. That's chapters 1, 5, and 8 that we will encounter here. Some of the shiurim that he gave on Shabbos Chanukah, major momentous occasions. And some of this shiurim extend for 5, 6, or 8 pages. But Rav Nosson Zal does an incredible job of explaining and clarifying usually, and I hope we'll continue to get enormous benefit from each and every chapter. Before we begin the actual first chapter, there's a small hashmata, an appendix, that's given as an introduction to this book, which begins, and this is very famous in Breslov circles. It begins with a quote from the prophet Yechezkel, Echod Hoyo Avraham. Avraham Avinu, our father Abraham, was one. And Rabbeinu Zal says, She'Avraham Ovad Hashem Rak Al Yidei Shehoyo Echod. Avraham Avinu was able to serve Hashem in the era that he lived only by the fact that he was one. She'Choshav B'daitoi Shehu Rak Yechidi Bo'ilam. That in his mind, he pictured as if he was the only one in the world. No one else existed. V'lehistakel klal al bnei ho'ilam shesorim me'acharei Hashem u'moinem o'isoi. He ignored completely the rest of the world that turned away from Hashem, that was into idol worship, and could prevent him from faith in Hashem and serving Hashem. V'lo al oviv, this included his father, who was Terach, who was a major entrepreneur of Avodah Zorah. He owned a department store of idols. Ushar Moinim and other obstacles. Rak ki'ilu hu echod bo'olam. Avraham Avinu's attitude was, I am the only one in the world. He was able to block out these other people completely. Vizehu echod hoyo Avraham. And this is the message that's contained in this pasuk. Avraham Avinu was one. That in order for him to be able to believe in Hashem and serve Hashem at a time when the vast majority of the world felt differently, they were all into idol worship, he had to be able to ignore them, to block them out completely, and to focus only on himself. And now Rabbi Nachman says, V'chein kol horoitza lichnois b'avoidas Hashem. The same attitude must be taken by any person who wants to enter into serving Hashem. It's impossible for a person to really enter into devotion of Hashem unless they're able to apply this attitude. To be able to think that there's nobody else in the world other than me. And to be able to ignore completely any person who would want to block the person, who would be used as an obstacle to prevent the person from coming close to Hashem. Kegoin oviv ve'imoi, whether it's his father or mother, oichosnoi, or his father-in-law, ve'ishtoi, his wife, ubanov, his children, ukiyotze, and anything similar to this. Or the obstacles, the opposition that a person has from other people, non-family members. Hamalgim, who make fun, they make fun of religion, umesisim, and some of them try to seduce and entice a person to do the wrong things, to go against Hashem. Umoinim me avoidosa yisporach. And they block a person, they oppose a person's serving Hashem. V'tzorich shelo yochush v'yistakel aleim klal. And the person has to have the ability, at times, to be able to ignore them completely. Rak yeh bebechinas echod hoy Avram. But rather to take this attitude that they all of these things don't exist. There's only me. Ki'ilu hu yachid boilam, as if he were the only person in the world. Now, this paragraph is very delicate and dangerous if a person doesn't know how to apply this and when to apply this. And the same rule applies really to any part of the Torah. A person has to be careful that the Torah is not a book that a person can learn one paragraph and close the book and say, now I know what to do. Now I know exactly what to do. It doesn't work that way. The Torah, everything in the Torah is interconnected. And very often, in order to understand something correctly, you have to know what it says before it and after it, and even around it, from the beginning to the end. Extremely important. We study the life of Yoshua, for example, the main student of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah says, V'Yoshua ben Nun lo yomish mitoicha oihel, that Yoshua ben Nun never left the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos, this doesn't necessarily mean that he physically ate and slept and stayed there 24/7. What it means is that even when he was not there, Moshe Rabbeinu was always on his mind. Everything that he did in life was always, he was always including exactly thinking what his rabbi taught him, how his rabbi taught him how to live correctly, and is what he's doing conforming with what his Rebbe taught him? Or is this something that's going to help him come closer to Hashem by coming closer to his rabbi, or the opposite? When we read the story of Rav Nosson Zal's life in Yemei Maranat, in Koich Ve'Oer, in the book Through Fire and Water, which was written by my brother-in-law, Chaim Kramer, which, by the way, we have the opportunity to give over a little bit of good news. It appears that he's going to be returning home today from the hospital. His second corona test came out negative, Baruch Hashem, besides the first. Still needs major recuperation, still on oxygen, still very weak, but we hope that it's a step in the right direction. So there we read Rav Nosson Zal's biography, how much he yearned to come close to Hashem, and how he searched for the right path, and he went to different tzaddikim, and during the era that he lived, in the early 1800s, there weren't any telephones, fax machines, there weren't any cars, buses, airplanes. In order for him to have contact with a tzaddik, it meant having to leave home and travel to that tzaddik. And it meant, at times, it meant self-sacrifice. It wasn't easy at all traveling by horse and buggy through forests, through rain, snow, sleet, traveling sometimes in places where there was danger, different types of danger from non-Jews. And it also meant leaving the family at times, leaving his wife and children. And if a person studies Rav Nosson Zal's life carefully, we see that we're not dealing with a person who was heartless. We're not dealing with a person who didn't understand the importance of shalom bayis, the importance of spending quality time with children. He definitely did spend quality time with his children. He loved and respected his wife completely. However, he understood that for his benefit and for the benefit of the Jewish nation, the fact that today there are tens of thousands and possibly a few hundred thousand people who know about Rabbi Nachman and who know about Hashem is to his credit. It only was made possible by the sacrifice that Rav Nosson Zal had to make, the self-sacrifice, and at times it included sacrifice on the part of his family. We just started reading Pirkei Avos now. We're in the season between Pesach and Shavuos. This shir is being given shortly after, on the 10th day of the Omer of the year Tavshin Pei, 5780. And we started saying Pirkei Avos yesterday on Shabbos, as is the custom between Pesach and Shavuos. And in the first chapter of Pirkei Avos, one of the things that's mentioned there is that Yehi Beischa Beisvad L'Chachomim, your home should be a gathering place for rabbis. V'yihyu aniyim b'nei beisecha, and the members of your household should be poor. Meaning that sometimes, in order for a person to invite a rabbi to their home, it means taking away, in some ways, from their own children. It could mean taking away food or drink, or it could mean taking away quality time sometimes. But it's an investment that a person has to think very carefully of how great the benefit is, the incredible significance in Judaism and in life of coming close to tzaddikim. And when we read, when we look at Rabbeinu Zal's Sforim, and especially through the eyes of Rabbi Nosson Zal, seeing what he did, what he didn't do, there were times that he made a decision to stay home. There was an incident once in the early years of Rabbi Nosson Zal's contact with his rabbi, Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbi Nosson Zal once came to Rabbeinu Zal for Shavuos, and Rabbeinu Zal became aware of the turbulence in Rabbi Nosson Zal's home, how difficult this Shalom Bayis was at the time, and Rabbi Nachman made him go home. He sent him home. Rabbi Nosson Zal was not able to be with Rabbi Nachman for that Shavuos. And there was a time later, a few years later, when Rabbi Nosson Zal came for a holiday, and Rabbi Nosson Zal made sure not to see Rabbi Nachman until it was close to Yontif, where Rabbi Nachman couldn't send him home anymore. It wouldn't have been possible to get back home in time for the holiday. And Rabbi Nachman, when he saw Rabbi Nosson Zal, he smiled and he commented, and he made mention of this, and he made mention that had I known that the situation, I might not have let you come. But on the other hand, Rabbi Nachman said, when a person overcomes all the obstacles, it's still better. So we see Rabbi Nachman speaking about both sides of the coin, addressing the issue. The Gemara makes it perfectly clear that pa'amim bitula shel Torah zui kiyuma. There are times when a person must leave the Torah in order to be able to fulfill the Torah. Eis lasois lashem heferu Torah secho. There are times that a person has to give up certain things in order, even a certain connection to the Torah, a certain connection to a tzaddik, in order to maintain their life on a certain level. But this is a very delicate thing that requires a lot of learning, and especially shimush chachamim, spending quality time in the presence of tzaddikim and watching how they act, watching when they understand to push harder, to ignore the obstacles, and when the right decision is to give in a little bit. The Gemara says it's better to violate one Shabbos and have the person live than have the person die when they can't keep any Shabbosim. So this is one of the very delicate points in Yiddishkeit in general, and especially in the concept of coming close to a tzaddik. And it's very beneficial for a person to study, to read the biography, the life of Rabbi Nosson Zal, and to have the guidance of Talmidei Chachamim, to be able to know exactly how does this apply to me now, in my current situation. When do I push? When do I ignore the home's front? And when do I devote myself completely to the home front? Obviously, there's a lot more that needs to be said about this, but I hope that this is a good introduction. Now we begin the first chapter in the second half of Likut Imran, which is entitled Tiku Memshola. Generally, the shiurim that Rabbeinu Zal gave on Rosh Hashanah included an explanation of the pasuk that we recite on Rosh Hashanah in the prayer, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel l'yom chagenu ki choyk l'Yisrael hu mishpot l'kei Yaakov. And usually, Rabbeinu Zal will explain how the chapter in Likut Imran clarifies that pasuk towards the end of the chapter. In this case, it's called Tiku Memshola because Rabbeinu Zal is going to speak about the mission, the life mission of a Jew, which is one of the definitions, one of the ways that we define the life mission of a Jew is to achieve superiority over angels, to get ahead and above the angels. Okay, we begin. Ki ish ha-Yisraeli nivra sheyihi Eloi memshola al hamalachim. A Jew was created to achieve superiority, rulership over the angels, to be able to rule over angels. And here there's a note here, Ayin Tikkun Ayin. Take a look in the Tikkuni Zohar, chapter 70, the final chapter of the Tikkuni Zohar, page 137. I'd like to read a little bit of this because it's extremely important and clear in presenting this. The Tikkuni Zohar says there, on the Pasuk Na'ase Odom, where Hashem approached the angels and Hashem consulted with the angels to see what their opinion is. Should we create man or not? And the Zohar HaKadosh gives us some of the behind the scenes of exactly what took place in that consultation. The Zohar HaKadosh says that this could be compared to a king that had a very loyal, worthy messenger that was very close to him. And the king said to the other officers, I want this messenger of mine to rule, to be above you, to manage you, to supervise you, to control you. And this is what's meant by Na'ase Adam. When Hashem said, let us create man who will fulfill the commandments of the Torah and will receive incredible reward, and he will rule over you. This is the wording in the Tikkuni Zohar. Why will he rule over you? The Tikkuni Zohar explains, because the heavenly angels, even though they are referred to as Giboirei Koyach Oisei Devoroi, they're very powerful, and they fulfill every command of Hashem, it's still not considered so powerful and so special because they have no choice. They have no free choice. They must do as they're commanded. There's no combination of spiritual and flesh and blood. There's no Yetzirah. They have no evil inclination. Therefore, Hashem said, as great as the angels are, I want to create someone much greater and much more special than the angels. Let's make man who will rule over you. Man who will go down to the earth and will rule over the sea, over the birds. And Hashem said, and the fact that I want man to rule over you, I want you to accept this willfully. I want this to be, I don't want to force you to do this. I want you to agree to accept the authority of man over you, because I am going to place my name upon him and my holy seal, the seal of my covenant, the Bris Kodesh, will be on man. The Tikkun Ezer says that the angels on the right blessed Hashem and praised Hashem, and they said, full speed ahead, great idea. But there were other angels who hated man, and they said, Hashem, why would you want to do this? Man is going to commit sins. Man is going to be, there's going to be all kinds of evil. This is in short, a little bit of the discussion that the Tikkuni Zohar brings there towards the end of chapter 70. Back into the Likut Emran. Vezeh hatachlis vahasoif shel Yisroel. This is the ultimate purpose and the goal of the Jewish nation and of each and every single Jew. K'mayisham Rabbi Senazal, as the Gemara says in the Yerushalmi in Shabbos, asidim tzadikim sheyihye mechitzosom lifnim mimalachi ashores. The tzadikim, the righteous people, are going to achieve such a level that they will be closer to Hashem. They'll be more on the inside than the angels. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ko'eis ye'omar le'yakov u'le'yisrael ma'po'al kel. There's going to come a time when they're going to say to the Jewish people, what is Hashem doing? She'hamalochim yitzarchu lishol mi'yisrael. The angels are going to have to ask the Jews, k'she'yirtzu le'da ma'po'al kel. When the angels are going to want to know, what is Hashem doing? because we're going to have the front row seats. We're going to be sitting, the tzaddikim, the righteous people, are going to be sitting up front, and the angels are going to be further away from Hashem than these tzaddikim. We find that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to receive the Torah, we find that the angels complained, and they said, Ma liyilud isha beinenu? How dare a human being come? Beinenu means among us, and the word beinenu also means between us. The angels understood that Moshe Rabbeinu going up to heaven to get the Torah was not just to become one of the guys, that in receiving the Torah, he was going to become one of the angels, but rather he would rise to a level that he would come between Hashem and the angels, so that the angels would have to consult with Moshe Rabbeinu. They would also be under the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like we find in the case of Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. It says clearly in the Torah, Molach al elyonim v'tachtonim, that he ruled over the heavenly forces and the earthly forces. So up to now, a person would say, wow, power to the great tzaddikim who Rabbi Nachman is addressing here, that this applies to them. This obviously has nothing to do with me. V'tzorich kol echod lirois, each and every single Jew has to see to it, sheyovoi lozeh hatachlis, to achieve this goal, sheyieloi memsholam halamalachim, to achieve authority, rulership over angels. We know that each and every one of us, the Torah tells us throughout, that each and every one of us has a conflict taking place inside of us, a good angel and an evil angel, Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. And each and every one of us has to strive to achieve superiority, to be able to rule over and control that Yetzer Hara. As Rabbeinu Zal is going to elaborate, however, in trying to achieve this goal, to be able to rule over angels, Tzorich lishmar atzmoi ma'oid. A person has to be very careful. V'lirois sheyeh lo koyach lamoid b'memshol hazu. That the person has to be careful to see to it that they should be able to hold on to that status. Shelo yekanu boi malachi ashores v'apilu oisoi. So that the angels, the heavenly angels, shouldn't become jealous of the person and knock him down. Chas v'sholem. Ki hamalochim miskanim ma'oid ba'odom kozeh, because the angels are very jealous and envious of a person like this, sheyesh loy memshola aleihem, who rules over them. Kamo shemotzinu, as we find in the Gemara in Chagiga, page 15, Shom Rabbi Senezal, the Gemara tells us, al kamo gedoylim, about several great rabbis, shebikshu malachi ashores ledochvoy, whom the angels wanted to push them down, to defeat them. The Gemara says that there were several rabbis that made a negative comment, an insulting comment about the Yetzirah. They said, Gira be'ena de sitna, I spit in the face of the Satan, implying, I'm not afraid of him. And the Gemara says, immediately afterwards, the Satan exerted full power, his full strength, and almost brought these rabbis to almost commit a sin. And at the last moment, he said, the only reason why I'm not knocking you out completely is because in heaven they love you, because in heaven they respect you. But I just wanted to show you, don't tease me, don't play with me, don't make fun of me, because if I ever use my full strength, I'm not so sure if you'd be able to defeat me. So we see the Gemara giving us the impression that a person in that kind of position, that tzaddikim, have to be careful. The Gemara says, Kol ha-godol mechaveroi, yitzroi godol himenu. Any person who's on a higher level than another Jew also has a greater yetzer hara, a greater opposition, a greater opponent that they have to deal with. So things here, we're talking about something that's very delicate. In teaching this Torah, people ask me at times, one second, is angels have jealousy? There's a concept of jealousy by angels? The answer is, obviously, there is such a concept. angels do not have a yetzahara, an evil inclination, in the same context as us whatsoever. However, the Torah does show us that there is some kind of a concept of an envy on the part of angels, that they also wish they could go higher, they wish they could be closer to Hashem. And when they view tzaddikim, when they see that the Jewish nation has the ability to go above them, there is this kinah, and we have to take certain steps to protect ourselves, to number one, to get to such a level, and once a person attains such a level, to be able to maintain it, as we're going to see now. Any questions before we continue? Paragraph 2. The solution to this problem, the advice as to how to deal with this, how to protect oneself, that the angels should not be able to harm the person in any way, a person who achieves superiority over them, is lekasher atzmoi im nishmas Yisroel. The person has to attach themselves to the souls of all the Jews, the entire Jewish nation. Val yidei ha-hiskashrus mitzol mehem. And by binding oneself to all the souls of the Jewish nation, the person is protected and saved from being harmed by these angels. Now, we have something similar to this in the writings of the Arizal. We know that one of the ways that a Jew achieves closeness to Hashem and superiority over the angels is through prayer, through tefillah. And the Arizal says that one of the steps, one of the very important steps that a person should take before they pray is to attach oneself, to say, I hereby accept upon myself the mitzvah of loving every Jew like I love myself. Hareini mekabel alai mitzvah saseh shel v'yohavto l'reicha kamoicha. And the Arizal says that by doing that, a person is locking hands, as if to say they're linking hands with all 600,000 souls of the Jews. And we know the Gemara tells us that an individual prayer can be blocked and can be disqualified by the angels sometimes. So the Arizal says, but a tefillah of a large group, the Gemara says that's something that Hashem never rejects. So the Arizal mentions this in the context of a person linking, having in mind that I'm part of the entire Jewish nation, and before I pray, I'm attaching myself to all 600,000 Jews by making this declaration that I love every single Jew. And the Arizal says this is an insurance of the person's prayer being accepted by Hashem. Now let's see Rabbeinu Zal's version of this, which differs a little bit. Both are obviously necessary and effective. Back inside, Vezeh Bechinas Me'aches Pnei Hakisei. This is what's referred to in Iov as grabbing onto, holding onto the throne of Hashem. Shetzorich Lechoiz Atzmoi B'Sharoshei HaNeshamois. A Jew has to grab onto and attach themselves to the source of all the Jewish souls, HaChatzuvois Mitachas Kisei HaKovoi, which the Gemara tells us are carved out from under the throne of Hashem. Shehi Bechinas Eim Kolchoi. The throne of Hashem is referred to as the mother of all of creation, because that's where the souls originate from. Vezeh Bechinas Mashom Rabbi Senusal, and this is what the Gemara refers to in Shabbos, page 88, when the Gemara tells us, Besho She'ola Moshe L'Amoraim, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to receive the oral Torah, Amru Malachi Ashorois, the angels said, Ma liyelud isha beinenu. What is this human being doing among us? Yelud isha means someone who is born to a mother. Omar lohem, so Moshe Rabbeinu responded to Hashem said to them, Lekabel toirabo, he came to receive the Torah on behalf of the Jewish people and to take it down to earth. Amru, so the angels responded, Asher tenohoidcho ala shomayim. But the Torah says that Hashem has given his beauty in heaven. The Torah belongs up here with us. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hachzer Lohem Tshuva. You answer them. You give them a response. Omar, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ani misyore, I'm afraid, shelo yisrefuni behevel piyem, that they shouldn't burn me up with the breath of their mouth. Angels are spiritual, they're fire. Omar loy, so Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Echoiz bekisei kvoidi, grab onto my throne, and through that you'll be protected, they will not be able to harm you in any way. Hainu, Rabbeinu Zal explains, Shenosan loy Hashem Yisporach Eitza, Hashem was giving advice to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lechois ulehiskasher b'shoroshei haneshamois, for Moshe Rabbeinu to grab onto and to hold onto the source, the roots of all the souls, Shehein b'chinas kisei hakavod, which is referred to as the throne of glory of Hashem, Eim kol choy, the mother of all of creation. And by doing that, he will be protected from the envy, from the jealousy of the angels. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Vize bechinas vayiven Hashem Elokim es hatzela asher lokach min ha'odom. When the Torah speaks about the creation of Chava, we just mentioned that the throne of Hashem, the Kisei HaKovod, was referred to as Eim Kol Choy, the mother of all of creation, because that's where the Jewish souls come from. The terminology that's used in the Torah is that the souls are carved out from under the throne of Hashem. But we know also that the man was born to woman. That it was when Adam Arishon, when Chava was created, and when Adam and Chava united, that's what produced the mankind. And there the Pasuk says that Hashem took the rib, which he had taken from Adam, and he built it up. He built it up to form the woman, Chava. Rabbeinu Zal says now, Vayiven, the word Vayiven, which means Hashem built, Roshe Tevois makes up the first letters of the words, Usikativ Yoseid Bemokim Neman. I will establish him permanently in a trustworthy place, in solid ground, like in a sense. Shehu Bechinas Memshola. That pasuk is really referring to the establishment of authority. When a person is put into a position of authority and they're solid in their authority, where they're respected, as we find the Targum Yonason on that pasuk in Yeshaya says, Ve'emanine amrakel mehemon meshamesh ba'asar kayam. I will appoint him a trustworthy ruler in a solid place, in a strong place. Hainu bechinas memshola hanal. So we see that the pasuk is referring to that rulership, that authority we were speaking about earlier. Sheyelokium, that it should be permanent, it should be solid, established permanently and firmly. Veze bechinas hatzelo, and this is the rib. Shehi bechinas chava, which was actually chava, Eim kol choy, the mother of all of men. Bechinas kisei hakovod, and she corresponds to the heavenly throne of Hashem, Shoroshei Haneshomois, which is the source of all Jewish souls. Shaideze yesh koyach lamoy bememshola zu. Through this, a person has, by attaching oneself to the throne, to the Eim Kol Choy, this empowers a person to retain that kingdom, that authority. Vizehu asher lokach min ha'odom. This rib which was taken from Adam. Rabbeinu Zal says, Hainu Adam ho'elyoin. This also refers to the heavenly Adam, referring to Hashem himself. Kamesha Kosuf, as we find it says in the beginning of the prophet Yechezkel, Val hakisei dmus kemari Adam. that when the prophet Yechezkel saw a vision of the throne of Hashem, he saw that on the throne was seated a man, an Adam. So Hashem took the rib, vayevieho el ha'adam, and he brought it to Adam, to Adam. He took Chava and brought her to Adam. Hainu el ha'adam hatachtoin. This refers to taking the heavenly Adam and bringing it down to the earthly Adam, making a connection between man on earth and the throne of Hashem, as we said. By this connection, by a human being on earth attaching himself to the throne of Hashem, to the Eim Kol Chai, to the mother of all of creation, to Chava, to the throne, through this the person becomes solidly entrenched in their memshala, and they cannot be shaken, they cannot be thrown off their throne, by even by the angels. Now Rabbi Nassau quotes a story in the Gemara. The Gemara in Kiddush mentions that there were women, a group of women, that were taken captive by the Goyim at one point. And the Jews succeeded in ransoming these women, getting them out of the possession of the non-Jews at the time, Pidyon Shvuyim. And this was towards evening, and they couldn't get back to their own homes. So the rabbis thought, where is a safe place for these women to spend the night where they'll be protected until the next day when they'll be able to go back home to their own homes? So they thought that one of the most religious rabbis was Rav Amram Chasida, Rav Amram the Chassid. And they thought that there they'll certainly be safe. The Gemara says that Rav Amram had two floors. There was a second floor to the house, and there was a ladder, a big ladder, that led from the ground floor to the upper floor. So they led these women up the ladder to the upper floor and took away the ladder. And this ladder would take normally several people to move in order to put it in place. So now no one could get up there. The Gemara says that evening, the Yetzer Hara decided to attack Rav Amram with full power. And Rav Amram was felt such an incredible urge and desire that he grabbed the ladder, put it in position, and started climbing up the ladder to get to these women. The Gemara says that at one point he caught himself and he started screaming, "Fire, fire, Nura Be'Amram! There's a fire in the house of Rav Amram!" And people came coming to see what's going on. He did this in order to get people there, in order to break the spell, this powerful spell of the Yetzer Hara. So the Gemara says, in the end, Rav Amram said to the angel, "Vezehu she'omar Rav Amram chasida l'malach." This is why the Gemara tells us that Rav Amram chasida said to the angel, "Ano bisra, I am flesh and blood, va'ant eish, your fire, va'ano adifna minach, and I'm stronger than you. I succeeded in overpowering you. I succeeded in overcoming the desire." Rabbi Nassau says, the word bisra, Beis Shin Reish Aleph, makes up the first letters of the words Shishim Ribui Bekeres Echad. The Gemara tells us that there was a woman, Yocheved, who gave birth to 600,000 in one womb. She gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was like the entire Jewish people rolled up in one. All 600,000 neshamas. So Rabbi Nassau says the word bisra refers to 600,000. Dahainu b'china shoroshe haneshamos. What this is implying is that Rav Amram attached himself to the 600,000 souls. Shal yidei zeh yesh loy koyach. That's what gave him the power, sheyeh loy memshola amalachim, to be superior, to rule over the angels. B'chinas, as he said, ano adifna minach. I'm better than you. I'm more powerful. You're powerful. I'm more powerful than you. Now, the fact that he said, "You are fire," we know that the Zohar HaKadosh says many times that the desire, the evil desire of the Yetzer Hara, is compared to fire. The Zohar HaKadosh calls the Yetzer Hara sometimes a nickname Cham, Demechamem Gufei Debarnash, because he heats up the person with a passion, a desire for sin, for what's illegal, what's wrong. Any questions? Now Rabbi Nazal says, paragraph Gimel, Ulekasher Atzmoi L'Sharoshei HaNeshomoi Shel Yisrael. How does a person attach oneself to the source of all Jewish souls? Tzorich Leida Mekoyer Kol HaNeshomois U'Mekoyer Chiyusam. The person must know the source of all souls and where they draw their life force from. Meheichon kol neshama neshama mekabel eschius, from where each and every Jewish soul draws its life. Rabbi Nazal says, v'ho'ikar leida kol mefursomei hador. The main thing is for the person to know all the leaders of the generation. Because if a person cannot know and attach himself individually to each and every individual Jewish soul, the person has to at least attach themselves to the leaders of the generation. Because all of the Jewish souls are divided up among the leaders. Kikol mefursam umanigador yeshloi kama neshamois protius hashayochem lechelkoi. Because each and every leader of the generation has a certain number of souls, individual souls, that are under his authority, that he's responsible for, that he nourishes. They receive their spiritual nourishment through him. And when a person attaches themselves to these leaders, the person is automatically attached to all of the individual souls of the Jews. However, a person now has to get to know who are the leaders. Who are these leaders? Kiyesh kama mefursamim shehem b'sheker. Because there are many false leaders, people who are not really qualified to be leaders, and they aren't leaders. They present themselves, they appear to be as if they're leaders when they really aren't. Vehem rak al yidei azus. They're leading is coming from a place of chutzpah, audacity, where even though they were not genuinely qualified for leadership, and they weren't chosen for the position in many cases, not by Hashem and not by the people, sometimes you have people who take that authority onto themselves. They grab the position on their own, even though they're not really qualified whatsoever, they're not the ones that Hashem has put or wants in that position, and also not the ones who even the people feel they would want in that position. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Azus malchusa b'loy taga. Chutzpah is a king without a crown. Meaning, again, it's a person who's in a position of leadership, but they don't have the qualifications for it. So it's really fake, phony, it's non-deserving. Now, how does one get to be able to know, to differentiate between the true leaders and those that are not true leaders? Paragraph Dalit, Ulahakires Hamefursamim, Ezehu al yidei azus. In order for a person to really be able to recognize which leaders are in that position only because of chutzpah, they really don't belong there at all. They'd be doing the world a service if they left that position, and they'd be doing themselves a service if they were not in that position. Hu'al yedei binyan Yerushalayim. What gives a person the ability to be able to see clearly who are the true leaders, the real qualified leaders, and those that aren't, is by building Yerushalayim. Shehu Bechinas Halev. This refers to building and developing one's heart. Ki Yerushalayim Bechinas Yerusholem. Because the Medrash tells us that the word Yerushalayim is comprised of two words, Yira, respect, fear, Sholem, complete, whole. Hainu Shleimus HaYira. This refers to perfection of Yira, Hatluya Balev, which is dependent especially on the heart of a person. K'moshem Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Dovor HaMosur Lelev, Nemar Boi V'yoresa. That we find in many places in the Torah, when the Torah speaks about a person doing something, doing a mitzvah or committing a sin, which is not clearly visible on the outside. For example, a person's walking in the street and there's something on the floor near them. There's a jacket on the floor. They notice a jacket or something else. There's a mitzvah in the Torah that if you see an article that someone else lost, number one, to look around first to see if you can if the person's in the vicinity. And if you see anybody whose jacket it might be, to call out, hey, did you lose a jacket? Did you drop your jacket? If you don't see anybody there that could possibly be the owner of that jacket, you have a mitzvah to bend down, pick up that jacket, take it home, keep it safe, keep it well, keep it neat, keep it clean, and put up signs to in the area, in the vicinity. Anyone who lost an article of clothing, please contact me at this and this phone number, at this and this place. And if the person will give signs to show that it's theirs, I'll return it to them. There's the mitzvah of Hashava Saveda. Now, a person could be walking in the street and they don't want to be bothered. Person sees the jacket, it's not my jacket, walk past it. But again, there could be people watching and they don't want people to so they make believe as if they don't see it, they don't notice it at all. I didn't see it, I didn't know. Somebody says, how could you just walk by there? Didn't you see the... No, I didn't see it. So when it comes to these types of mitzvahs, the Torah specifically writes, V'yoreisam aleikecha, make sure you fear Hashem, because people might not be able to tell whether you saw it or didn't see it. But Hashem knows what's in your heart. Hashem sees what's in you. There's a pasuk, ki ha'odom yira la'inayim, v'Hashem yira la'levov. Human beings can only see with their eyes. They only see on the outside. But Hashem sees into the heart of a person. And Hashem knows exactly what you were thinking, even. So we see that yira is associated with the heart. So when we talk about building Yerushalayim, building up Shleimus HaYira, we're talking about a person developing their heart properly. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to go into discussing that there are three negative things that destroy Yerushalayim. There are three forces that destroy Yerushalayim, that destroy the heart of a Jew, this yira, this respect in the heart. Any questions, please?
Question on the concept of attaching to or having one rabbi versus the concept here of multiple tzaddikim. Are there some aspects where, because I know in the past, I think we're speaking about really having one rebbe, you know, instead of jumping or having, you know, multiple rebbes. Here we talk about being a hiskasher to multiple tzaddikim. Can you talk a little bit about when it's beneficial and what area is one versus multiple?
Sure. We have this throughout the Torah. There's a mishnah in Pirkei Avos which says, Asei lecha rav, appoint for yourself a rabbi, singular. And at the same time, we quoted a mission earlier which said your home should be a gathering place for rabbis. There are many places throughout the Torah where it mentions both. Multiple rabbis and individual rabbi. And both are true. There's a concept of having respect for all rabbis. And a person being able to listen to and learn from all rabbis. There's also a concept that when it comes to having a clear direction in life, and a clear path in Torah for a person, that there, if a person is drawing from two rabbis, it's very difficult for most people. It could be very confusing because no two rabbis think exactly alike usually. And there could be differences. And if a person is dealing with two rabbis, sometimes they could get conflicting opinions on one issue. So therefore, there is a concept of the importance of being attached having a single rabbi who I go by, who I hold by completely. Other rabbis, I learn from, I can listen to them, but in terms of when it comes to making critical, important decisions in my path, the path that I choose in Yiddishkeit, in my connection to Hashem, the exact path, I try to follow one path. Not usually, there's a concept of they call it, at one point they called it Stiebelhoppers. People who go, I like Aura, I go to this, I take from everyone. Very often, those people who take from everyone end up taking from no one. They end up making decisions on their own, not necessarily conforming with any of those rabbis sometimes, because they don't have one rabbi who they really feel an obligation to listen to, that when that rabbi says something, I'm going to take it very seriously. You know, to the furthest degree. This is why, for example, in Breslov, based on this chapter in Likutei Moran, and based on chapter 2 in the first half of Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the importance of attaching oneself to the tzaddikim when praying, the nusach, the wording that we use before we start praying is, I am attaching myself to all of the tzaddikim of our generation and all of the tzaddikim of all previous generations, and in particular to my rabbi, Rabbi Nachman ben Feges, Chusir Noveinu. So we're clearly mentioning both. We're clearly not ignoring the fact that there are many tzaddikim. There could be many tzaddikim. And I'm acknowledging them all, and I'm attaching myself to all of them. At the same time, I'm making it perfectly clear that I have my doctor. My doctor, the one who has my file, my Rebbe, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Levracha, once compared it to people sometimes who go to doctors, and sometimes, and again, they take tests sometimes, but then it's always, I want this information sent to my doctor because he's the one who has my file. He's the one who knows my whole history. Even when a person goes to a specialist sometimes, etc., they'll usually make sure that the information is passed on to the doctor that they've been with their whole life, that kind of thing, or for an extended period of time, who knows them better than anybody else. There is a similar concept in Yiddishkeit of my doctor. Any other questions?
Rabbi.
Please.
How do we, when we talk about how attach yourself to have one rabbi, consider it to be like Rabbi Nachman, your one rabbi?
In Breslov itself, there are two general directions. There are many people in Breslov who their understanding of the concept of the tzaddik of the generation and the rabbi for Breslovers is Rabbi Nachman. No one else. No one else. That's my rabbi. Everyone else is students of the rabbi. Everyone else is only students. My Rebbe is Rabbi Nachman, period. I don't apply the title Rebbe, my rabbi, to anyone else. There's another that I learn. I read Rabbi Nosson Zal's books. I read the other. And even today, I'll hear what people have to say, but I don't accept any person as my official rabbi other than Rabbi Nachman, period. There's another path in Breslov where we recognize Rabbi Nachman as the Rebbe, as an umbrella term over all rabbis in Breslov and all rabbis even of the world to a degree, you know, in a sense. However, in my relationship with Rabbi Nachman, I feel I need guidance and direction there also. And here again, we find that during Rabbi Nosson Zal's time and after Rabbi Nosson Zal, there were students of Rabbi Nosson Zal who said that it's more important for a Breslov chassid, for someone who loves and respects Rabbi Nachman, they should spend most of their time reading Rabbi Nosson Zal's Sfarim to get the most accurate, clear understanding of what Rabbi Nachman really was all about. And there's a lot to say on this topic. Maybe we'll go into it a little more in the next shiur. That there was once an incident of someone who came to see one of Rabbi Nachman's students, and he wasn't available at the time. I'm sorry, he came to see one of his friends. They were both students of Rabbi Nosson Zal, and the friend wasn't available, And one of Rabbi Nachman's students was in the house at the time, and he saw the whole scenario. He saw that these two would get together often to talk, and he saw the respect that they had and how much they respected Rabbi Nachman, and he realized what was going on, that this person was waiting for his friend to come, who wasn't there yet, and this person wasn't speaking to Rabbi Nachman. So the Rabbi Nachman student, Reb Doiv, said, you can talk to me too. So the student of Rabbi Nosson said, no, you are one of Rabbi Nachman's students. I'm afraid to speak to you like. And Reb Doiv said to him, you don't understand. You, being students of Rabbi Nosson Zal, have a much better understanding, much clearer understanding and connection to Rabbi Nachman than we, the students of Rabbi Nachman. So this is a delicate point. It's a delicate point. There are different opinions on this. Even among my own rabbis, plural, I saw that there were differences. My rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, put tremendous emphasis on the concept of a golden chain. Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nosson's students, their students, and Rav Rosenfeld had tremendous allegiance to one rabbi in the generation at the time. During the time that Rabbi Avram Sternhartz was living, Rabbi Koch of Leizal, Rav Rosenfeld took him as his rabbi and considered him the tzaddik of the generation, and held most by him. Rav Rosenfeld learned all of Rabbi Nachman's Sforum, all of Rabbi Nachman, but this is my Rebbe, this is my guide, this is my link to Rabbi Nachman. There were other rabbis who took a different attitude, other rabbis and students that took a different attitude in regarding this issue. Okay, we'll hold it here for now. We just started getting our, not our feet wet, but our toes wet in this Torah. This Torah is one of the monumental ones. It's a shiur that Rabbi Nachman gave on Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbi Nachman generally spoke for like 2-3 hours sometimes. This is the intro. We're going to have incredible, incredible, wondrous concepts throughout this Torah that all of us are going to be able to apply in our Yiddishkeit and our lives to bring us closer to Hashem. We should be zecher that this should be a good beginning. This week is also going to be Rosh Chodesh. Friday and Shabbos are Rosh Chodesh, starting a new month, the month of Iyar. All of us should make a new beginning every day. And again, we know that usually a plague is something that angels, we see in the Torah that there was a plague that was sent, and Aaron HaKohen took the Ktoris. He was told, quickly run, take the Ktoris, and use that to wipe out, to stop the plague from killing Jews. So plagues generally are associated with angels. Rabbeinu Zal, this Torah is telling us that we as Jews have the ability to go above the angels. And the key to it is the unity among us. By us uniting, considering ourselves members of the entire Jewish nation, we're part of this whole. In that manner, when we count Sfira, for example, those that follow the Nusach Sfarad Sira, might be in Lusach, we say, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, I'm performing this mitzvah in the name of the entire Jewish nation. In the name of the entire Jewish nation. And to have in mind that all of our mitzvahs, our tefillah, our Torah, all of our mitzvahs, we're doing it as members and in unison, united with all the Jews. We should be zeichet to see the end of this plague. We should be zeichet to see the Jewish nation rise to our prominence, and that the angels should be coming to us to ask us what Hashem is doing with the coming of Moshiach, the true leader of Klal Yisrael, the coming of Moshiach, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, Meher Yameinu, Amen V'Amen. Oh, yeah.